Good afternoon. Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. I'm Shelley, and I'm in the studio today with Sandy, Tara, and Tanya. And we are going to be continuing our study on the portable sanctuary. And we are going to start off in Joshua 2.
Yay, Joshua 2. You know, let's recap a little bit what we did last month so that we can kind of catch up. We were examining how in Joshua 1 that God came to him and told him he had a plan for him. He wanted him to be strong and courageous because he was going to lead the nation of Israel into the land that the Lord had promised to them through Abraham. And not only did God tell him, be strong and courageous, he gave him a challenge and he said, I don't want you to veer from my word. I want you to have it with you and not to go to the left or to the right, to focus in on my commands, my law, as you go. And if you do, you will be blessed in keeping my commands before you. Now, as we begin this process, we are going to enter into Joshua 2. And with Joshua 2, we're going to see a beautiful woman named Rahab. And when we meet Rahab, we're going to find out that she lives in the wall. And most likely in her past life, she was a prostitute. There's debate as to whether or not she was at the time. It's, you know, whether or not she was an innkeeper only at this point, we don't know. It's a debate back and forth between the different theologians. And so, but the issue is that she was a woman of great faith, and she shows it by her actions. And that's what we're going to examine this next month. It's an exciting month, lots of great things. And I wish you were in the studio with us. You have to know, before we get started, we were laughing so hard it took us three takes to even get started. It was a crazy start getting us going, and now we're finally here, and everybody's so quiet because we were laughing so hard we could barely breathe. So in Joshua 2, Joshua sent out the spies, and he sent them secretly to go into the land of Jericho. And the spies, when they arrived at the house of the prostitute Rahab, they stayed at her house. Now, the king heard that these spies were out in the land searching. And so he sent word to Rahab saying that she must put them out of their house because they're out to destroy the land. But Rahab had taken the men and she had hidden them. And she said, true, men did come to my home, but I don't know where they came from or what they were about. And they left when it was getting close to dark, and I don't know where they went. If you pursue them quickly, maybe you'll find them. Well, she had taken the men up to the roof, and she had hid them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof to dry. Well, the king's men left to pursue the men of Israel, and they pursued them as far as the fords, and the gates shut soon after they had left. But before the men lay down that night, she went up to the roof and said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. The fear of you has fallen on all the people, and all inhabitants' hearts have melted in fear before you. They've heard how the Lord dried up the sea before you left Egypt, and they heard of what you did to the two kings, Sihon and Og, beyond the Jordan, that you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard about it, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit left in us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and the earth below. Please swear to me before the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them. Deliver us from death. Well, the men, they looked at Rahab and they said, our life for yours, even unto death. If you do not tell of our business that the Lord gives us this land and that we then will deal kindly and faithfully to you. Rahab let them down by a rope from the window because she lived in the city walls. And she said to them, go to the hills or the pursuers will find you. Hide there for 3 days until you return, and after that, you may go your way. Well, the men said to her, we will be guiltless to what you have said and what you have asked us to swear to you. If you tie this scarlet cord to your window as you let us down, you shall gather your father, your mother, your brothers and sisters, and all who belong to you in your house. But if anyone goes out in the street, we will be guiltless. And by any hands laid upon anyone in the house, the guilt will be upon their heads. if you tell of this business, we will be guiltless before you and the oath that you have asked us to swear. So Rahab looked at the men and she said, let it be so as you have said it to me. And she sent them away and they departed. She tied the scarlet cord in the ribbon on the window, and they went into the hills and remained there for 3 days until the pursuers searched all along the way, but they found nothing, so they returned. The two men returned to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them, and they said, truly, the Lord has given us this land into our hands, and all the inhabitants in the land have melted away because of us. May the Lord honor the storing of his word. This passage is amazing. I mean, it is an incredible passage. And I love this story because it shows, there's circumstances that are heightened, and it's dangerous, and it has espionage, it has a heroine, and it has a great leader, and it has great servants, and it has the bad king. I mean, there's so much involved in this that, you know, it's a story that really just captures your heart. And what we're going to look at is we want to think about the faith that is revealed. Now, our purpose is we're going to focus in mostly on Rahab's faith, but I want us to recognize before we focus there that there is also the faith of a leader, Joshua's faith. He is truly proving that he is strong and courageous. And there's also the corporate faith, and that the faith of the community of the nation of Israel as they move forward in obedience as Joshua leads them out. But for the purposes of what God wants us to understand, he allows us this story about Rahab because there is a woman in this city that's about to be destroyed that needs to be saved. Mm-hmm. And if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, God will take care of us. And this is an example of how God moved in behalf of Rahab, and not just Rahab, but Rahab's family, so that they could know him and be rescued by him and be brought into the land that worships him. And so I want us to have that in mind as we go through and look at this passage today. So as we talk about this particular story, what does it immediately bring to your mind when you think about Rahab?
I think of, you know, God and his second chances. That's a big one. And how good to see a person that was in that profession, I guess you would call. God loves everybody, you know, so everybody can be saved. I think that's a great message.
It really is a good message, isn't it?
It is.
It is. And the debate's pretty intense amongst the theologians about her background. I mean, there are some theologians that, you know, said that she was still active, and there were others that are adamant that she had left that lifestyle, and as her faith moved towards God, that's when she focused on the innkeeper, and that's the reason why she had flax on the roof. A person who would lay flax out would take the flax, and then they would beat it and bring it down, and eventually it would become the thread for linen for them to make clothes. And they likened it to the Proverbs 31 woman who would work at her labor. And so they were showing by the flax that being on the roof that she had a new occupation.
Right.
And so it goes both ways. The key factor that all of them focus in on, whether she was presently or wasn't, is the fact that when her faith happened in the Lord, that stopped. Mm-hmm. And Scripture focuses in that she, by faith, moved forward and in her belief in God. Mm-hmm. And I do love the fact that it's about God being a God of second chances. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? What do you think of when you think of Rahab?
I guess, too, and also leaving your past behind you. Uh-huh. I think that's a big thing, because she could have been
big
stuck
thing.
In her shame, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's easy to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it even says something about guilt. I mean, she didn't carry guilt because with your faith in God and the renewed life, I mean, you don't need to feel guilty about your past.
Yeah. Right. It's forgiven. It is forgiven. That's good. These are really good. Well, Rahab walked by faith. And God didn't look at her profession, and that's the key that we have to focus in on. And her willingness to help others, even when it meant it could cost her life, is an example for us to follow. And so by faith, she welcomed the spies in. Hmm. And, this is huge. I mean, you have to understand, by welcoming them in and providing for them, she is setting herself up, because she has now become an enemy mm-hmm. of her own city.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the city that she dwells. And I did some research. I wanted to figure out on the walls. There's a lot of history when it refers to walls in the Bible. And I think it was Mattoon's Treasury. He described the walls in extreme detail. I'd love to know where he got it, but it didn't say where he found it. He said there for Jericho. Now, you keep in mind, and eventually in the next few months, we're going to see these walls come tumbling down. Mm-hmm. But there were two walls, and the walls were set 15 feet apart. And if somebody wanted to get from one wall to the next at the upper level, they actually used wood planks so that they would cross over. Now, the width of the walls was 30 feet. Mm. I mean, this was not a small wall. So it's not like she was living in a little itty-bitty crevice. She was living, I mean, that 30 feet's pretty wide. Mm-hmm. And they typically were 90 feet high. And so these walls were massive. I mean, 90 feet high, 30 feet wide, and two sets of them. And that is what her residence was like. And so when we get to the point where we talk about the walls come tumbling down, you're talking mm-hmm. two sets of walls
wow.
that are 90 feet high, 30 feet wide, that crumble to the ground.
Wow.
I know.
It gives perspective.
It yeah. does.
It does, doesn't it?
You can kind of really visualize it.
Helps you to see the place that she lodged. Yeah. And so her abode was, the reason why it was set in the walls is they placed the people that were considered non-essential
on the outside.
In the walls. And so the further out on the wall, so obviously she was on the outer wall, mm-hmm. okay, and obviously closer to the roof. So she did have some rank in that she, you know, was up to the roof where she could do the flax. So she wasn't at the lower levels, but people were placed by their worth on the walls. That's, you know, their station, their caste, I guess you could say. So, you know, it helps you kind of to understand their society's setup, the way mm-hmm. the culturally they laid things out. And I was looking at the Apologetic Study Bible, and Rahab speaks to these spies. Some very profound words that we'll examine over the next few weeks. And so we're going to look at that. And then we're also going to look at how, as she spoke these truths about God to the spies, her very words actually become the affirmation for what God has told Joshua to be strong and courageous for. So it's not just an issue of her faith, but her words mm-hmm. become the faith
she's the messenger.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right, to Joshua. And so we'll see how God can use even someone that we would not say is worthy mm. of communicating a message to mm. communicate his message. And it was her words that gave them that, yeah, we need to get into the land.
Wow.
I know.
That's
Is that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you think, okay, I need to listen up more often, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Bible Knowledge Commentary says the Lord gave them title to the territory, but they had to possess it by marching on every part. And if they didn't march into the land, remember the Lord told him, I will give you every place that your foot mm-hmm. steps.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did not step in,
they don't do it.
They would not possess the land. And that is an example of how action follows faith. Okay, and I want to make this clear. Faith brings about works.
Mm-hmm.
Works does not build faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and then because we've believed in him, then we will walk in faith in actions that represent that we're walking in that faith. But we don't do our good works to build our faith.
Right.
And so all of the commentators were clear. She believed,
mm-hmm.
and therefore she acted,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was clear that her belief is what caused her to act the way she acted. I don't know about you guys. How has, as you grew in your knowledge of God, that increased your ability to move forward in faith? How has that helped you? The more you knew who he was, you were better able to move forward in faith. Y'all stumped?
You're silent. We're all shaking our heads, yes.
That's a pretty deep question.
How much time do we have?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me it was about letting go. Mm. You know, and that I, you know, because I ran my own life. I did what I thought was right. And the more I learned to call on him or rely on him, you know, the better I felt about, I mean, it was kind of like, you know, I don't have to do this by myself. Mm-hmm. And when I feel good about something, I know that, you know, that's God speaking to me. Or, you know, if I, what his little message is, mm-hmm. you know, to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it just encouraged me to go on, and in the, you know, the pits of whatever I was going through and feeling hopeless, you know, knowing that that was the only thing that was going to get me through because I didn't have anything else, it grew my faith.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And I think also when you're in those trials or circumstances, you know, and you are drawing, you know, near to God, it's such a testimony to other people that you can go through those trials and in the midst of it, you know, be strong.
Yeah. Did you find that it increased your faith?
Absolutely.
I wonder how Rahab, I would love to know. We'll look forward to that in heaven, right? To ask her how this moment and the tying of the red cord, I mean, because that was, it took faith for her to tie that cord. And that cinching that red scarlet cord, how that increased her faith. And then when they came to the city, I can't remember which commentator, they said most likely she was on the western wall. And as they came to the city, they saw the red cord, and then they came to take them out before the city fell. How much that increased her faith, you know, and seeing them following through with their word and seeing how God delivered and the impact that might have had on her family. And so what we have to recognize that as our faith increases and we take those steps of something as simple as tying that red cord, which we'll talk about next time, most likely, is that it represents Christ, the blood of Christ. That is symbolic to what Christ is going to do for us. It provides us where our faith increases, but we will also be watched by those around us. And as they are watching, their faith increases. And what we have to recognize is that the king of Jericho saw and heard that the enemy had entered and went to go find out. So even when we don't think others are watching, they're watching and they see. Mm-hmm. And so he was out to rout them. We want you to come back next week as we talk about faith and Rahab, and we're going to look into some of the things that she focused in on and how she saw God's providence and presence.